Hi, welcome to another episode of Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Larry Spaziani. He's with GAN Systems. He's their Vice President of Product Management. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. Everyone is talking about wide bandgap materials. Or I shouldn't say everyone. A lot of people in our space are talking about wide bandgap materials. But the other side of that coin is they're talking about the core technology, and sometimes they're talking about the different technologies in the same breath, not realizing that silicon carbide is different from gallium nitride. They're just hearing, these are cool things. We must have them. I understand they're better. But the other side of that coin is, You can have the tech, but you have to use it somehow. It has to be implemented. There must be an infrastructure. So talk to us. Tell me what your perspective is on it, and what GAN Systems' perspective is on that whole issue.
Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate that. You're right. Everybody has been talking about this wide bandgap material for quite a while, and the industry, some of the industry is leading the charge, and much of the industry, especially the electronics engineers, are at the point where they want this technology, but they're still differentiating between what they want, when they can get it, and how easy it will be to use, how cost-effective. So there's a lot of aspects to wide bandgap technology. Gallium nitride, GAN Systems is focused on GAN on silicon, which is essentially what the market believes will be the bridge to going from technology to marketable product.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they believe that is you get the benefits of the wide bandgap material at a cost structure that's similar to what's out there today.
Right.
That's
so
really, really important.
Right. But Larry, so you see cost as the biggest adopter, or is it getting the right implementation for the application, or is it a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. That's a great point, Alex, because let's talk about SiC versus maybe GAN on silicon. It's been out there for a while.
Right.
It has its marketplace. It's been adopted in high-end systems, even though the cost structure is relatively high, of course, compared to silicon. It has its advantages. The basic advantages of wide bandgap material are, you know, higher current density, higher breakdown voltage, and essentially higher speed.
Mm-hmm.
The switching losses associated with silicon devices, whether it be MOSFETs or IGBTs, are just limiting in many applications.
Agreed.
And what wide bandgap materials break those limits in a big way. So cost is one of many factors, but truly for a market, you know, this market is roughly around a $10 billion market in these higher voltage semiconductor devices today.
Mm-hmm.
We should just call them switches for the future, because they could be SiC, they could be GAN on SiC, they could be GAN on silicon. High-end markets that really value the benefits of the high frequency benefits of these materials,
mm-hmm,
will be the early adopters, and they already are. You know, you see them in high-end power supplies and inverters.
Right.
But many, many people are just assuming, maybe they haven't been caught up, you know, up to date, but they're assuming that the cost structure is so high that they shouldn't look at it. What GAN Systems is all about is bringing in these devices at a cost structure that's reasonable for the marketplace, that allows people to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, I can actually use these parts now.
Right. Well, and that's the other side of the coin, is using the parts, because, for example, even between gallium nitride and silicon carbide, there are packaging issues, because you can't put vias on top of a gallium nitride die due to the nature of the way it functions, different packaging requirements. And not to mention, silicon, a lot of these technologies are being put in older silicon derived packages, or I shouldn't say derived, but targeted packages, or not even targeted packages. A lot of those packages were made for form factor issues and thermal issues that had nothing to do with performance of the device. So just the package itself,
right,
is becoming an issue.
Exactly. Packaging, implementation, even subtle factors like how do you drive the device are all part of what we need to bring to the table and are bringing to the table to help this. Let's talk about packages for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
A very common package for the power switch is a TO220.
Oh, yeah.
If you're switching at 10 kilohertz or 20 kilohertz or even 100 kilohertz for a MOSFET, you've got a low-cost silicon device in a pretty low-cost package with a bunch of wire bonds. Now, the capabilities of GaN are you can switch 100 volts per nanosecond. That speed is enormous. If you think about switching at those speeds relative to the inductance of a wire bond, it's self-limiting. As a matter of fact, one of the mistakes I believe that's happened in this marketplace is trying to make it easy for an electronics engineer to look at a wide band gap device. So you say, look, take my part in a TO220 or a TO247 or one of these packages that you're working with now and try my device. Well, the fact is the package limitations, the parasitics will limit the performance so dramatically that the engineer is likely to walk away with a feeling, this isn't as good as I wish I heard it was.
Exactly, like dropping a turbine engine in a car, in an old car. I think they made a couple of movies about something like that. But you can't just simply drop the new technology in the old vehicle, literally.
Right. Exactly. There's a lot more to how to package this and how to put it together. I'm not sure you're familiar with, your listeners will be familiar with, but a lot of the early GaN devices will be Cascode devices. These are,
yes,
because a normal hemp is a normally on device, and most of our customers are in applications with a normally off device. Think of a standard high voltage MOSFET in a switching power supply. So in order to make an effective switch in a market, GaN Systems is actually packaging up. We have our island technology, so we combine our hemp device, our GaN device, together with an integrated driver and Cascode device, Cascode being a lower voltage CMOS device, such that together they're in the package. They happen to be integrated with zero inductance or as close to zero as you can get. And from the user point of view, what they see is a switch. They provide a gate drive, it turns on. They turn off the gate drive, it turns off. The industry, has to lead the charge in packaging these devices together in such a way that they're usable for the market.
Exactly.
And that's really what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So do you have some examples you can give us of solutions that you've presented, or can you talk in at least general terms about some of that stuff so you can give our audience an idea of some of the solutions that you can provide?
Sure. I mean, I'll talk generalities. It's parts that we're developing or we're already sampling or, we will be soon. So I'm not going to go into the timelines, but so GaN on silicon or GaN on SiC for that matter, we've already delivered GaN on SiC, and we're in the process of delivering GaN on silicon. We've seen it at APEC. We can deliver a simple hemp device, which is a normally on device. But we realize there's limitations that some advanced customers, and there are plenty of advanced customers, will go through the work, and maybe they are packaging experts themselves, for instance.
Right.
They will go through the work to make that hemp device work in their application. We're working with many, many module companies or very customized companies that are willing to take a bare switch and couple it up with their own Cascode device if necessary and make it a system work. We are then packaging up our hemp device with a Cascode driver and low voltage CMOS so that it looks like a normal switch to our customers. We are taking a larger view. One of the things GaN Systems is doing is we're providing intelligent drivers such that customers can get feedback from the system and manage these incredibly high slew rates, these incredibly high performance parameters that they're dealing with. So we'll combine our devices with higher performance drivers. So we go from a basic hemp device to a combined switch with an intelligent driver.
Right.
That's really the roadmap we're delivering.
Well, you know, in one way, you're doing writ small what a lot of the microcontroller device companies are doing writ large, and that's putting the peripheral functionalities internal to the device to make the implementation easier for the engineer.
Exactly. Now we're not going overboard, if you will. You know, we're not in the process of putting a processor or anything inside, because we're appealing to an incredibly large audience. The kinds of equipment that are looking at our devices, or, you know, devices in general, are so broad. And if you think about, you know, PV inverters, automotive systems, switching power supplies, they all have their own expertise. What we're maniacally focused on is delivering workable devices with enough knobs and handles on the device that they can use them in a system and take advantage of the speed and the performance.
Exactly. Because that's something I've said in the past as well, is that the inside of the box could be fairy dust, but the outside of the box has to interface with the rest of the infrastructure. I mean, you can't simply say, hey, it's a proprietary connection, deal with it. The performance advantages are there. Sure, you'll get people who use it, but you're not getting nearly the penetration if you actually put it in a package or use an interface or use a communications protocol that everyone can at least access.
Right. And it goes further than that, Alex. Our customers, you know, if you think about where we are in the marketplace for GAN, you can imagine a lot of our customers are pretty leading edge, you know, people and on some equipment that they're looking 2 or 3 or 4 years out. Others are looking much, much closer to near term. But in order to actually extrapolate the benefits of GAN, for instance, the high speed, we have to also not only package it correctly, we have to provide leading-edge models so that they can simulate the results. We have to provide leading-edge thermal modeling so that if we're putting it in our own devices or we're helping a customer put it in their own module, they can understand the thermal aspects of what it means. And, you know, you mentioned technology earlier. We have GAN on SiC, which has much higher, you know, much better thermal properties than GAN on silicon, or not much better, but a little better. And there are customers that value those thermal properties enormously. You know, usually they're, you know, high-end, mill, aero, downhole. But quite frankly, if you look at the automotive industry, there are so many applications in an automotive industry where, you know, in the engine or where high temperatures exist.
Well, exactly.
That, these devices have a great appeal.
Well, you know, and exactly, Larry, especially when you think about the ability to run a hybrid vehicle without as much thermal management because you can run the system a little hotter is a tremendous advantage because you can cut them down on weight in an unnecessary peripheral system. But also, you had mentioned how you were going to migrate from GAN on silicon carbide to GAN on silicon and who knows what other, maybe just doped GAN or something like that. But I think there'll probably always be some niche for GAN on silicon carbide, if only in some high-temperature applications. And because downhole, they don't care about the product, and it never comes back because they drop the package down the hole. They put the drill bit right after it.
Exactly. And there are other applications that where thermal performance trumps all other aspects.
Exactly.
But GAN on silicon is still the larger market. You know, we mentioned we're talking about thermals, and one of the things I'm excited about, truly excited about, is if you look at the hybrid industry today, and hybrids have taken on so many, you know, micro, mid, so many different types of hybrids, but they all have something in common. They have propulsion motors, motor compressors for air conditioning, fans, pumps, lots and lots of applications for devices. But not only does GAN result in higher frequency and smaller devices, in counterintuitively, even at higher frequency, you have much lower losses because it is so efficient. You have essentially almost zero capacitance. And GAN on silicon has incredibly low RDS on. So you generate less heat in the first place. So you're more efficient, you're smaller, and you need much, much lower cooling. So, you know, from a weight and size performance for the inverter industry, it has an enormous potential.
Gotcha. And I agree with you completely.
Automotive is one. Yeah. There's a a lot of motor control industry that typically has a motor and then a separate chassis and inverter, a motor, you know, the drive and the power electronics to drive it. There's some European initiatives and there's some basic, you know, market-driven initiatives that says they'd like to have the inverter built into the motor assembly.
Mm.
Well, in order to do that, you need to have incredibly small size and low thermals.
Very low thermals. And
so
tolerance.
Market for this.
Not just low thermals
yes.
emitted, but also high thermal tolerance accepted.
Yes, exactly. If you're operating inside the motor that you're controlling, you can imagine that there's a significant amount more heat.
Definitely a description of a hostile environment.
Good point.
Larry, are there any thoughts that you'd like to leave us with before we close the episode? Unfortunately, we could talk all day, but we do have our audience to think of.
Well, I appreciate that. And closing thoughts are this. There's an enormous built-up marketplace for high voltage, you know, 650 to 900 to 1200 volt devices, and even 100 and 200 volt devices that exist today and fundamentally wish to go faster to reduce size and wish to have higher efficiency to save energy and to reduce heat. The GaN on silicon marketplace is so wide and so broad that our focus is in making sure we understand the systems and, as we've talked about in this entire phone call, not just delivering devices, but delivering solutions. And, you know, that's what's critical. The second thing I'd like to point out is there are enormous activities in the marketplace today, for instance, in IGBTs, of new architectures, such as multi-level architectures, that customers are doing today in order to get to higher frequency with the existing devices that they have, which
mm-hmm.
are typically low-speed IGBTs. The thing I'd like to challenge the listener to is the amount of effort they're going to use older technology when GaN on silicon basically delivers a very efficient high-frequency switch. It's great timing because the industry's trying incredibly complicated ways to accomplish what I think we'll be able to deliver in the near term in a much more simplistic way.
Well, that's a very good point, Larry, and I hope some of the audience, if not all, take you up on your challenge.
All right. I certainly do myself.
And thanks for being here. We'll drag you back in a few months and see how the markets change.
All right. Thanks very much, Alex.
The pleasure is ours. And I'd like to thank everyone out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us today. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.